I'm sure Brother Kenneth said it, but I'm going to emphasize something else to kind of just re-emphasize, I guess, to leave it with you. Very present help in trouble. This stuff's all around us. We're in it. We're in it. He's a very present help in trouble. Just like those Hebrew children that he mentioned. He was there in it with them. He's with us in it. And because of them. One more thought. Because Jesus went to the cross. The Father sent him to the cross. Because he went to the cross, and because the Father withdrew his presence from Jesus, and Jesus had to endure what we would have, which without the blood of Jesus being shed on our behalf, then we shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. But because of Jesus, because his blood being shed for us, he will never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus has already done that for us. And so he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right. Appreciate what's gone before us. And Lord would help us for a little while. I ask an interest in your prayers this morning. But if he would help us for a little while, I want to talk about the COVID-19 opportunity. What opportunity has this virus presented us? You know, I said earlier, it'd be a crying shame if we endured all of this, all the inconveniences, and hopefully without being infected and having to deal with that. But it would be a crying shame if we went through all of this and not come out closer to the Lord. Afflictions will either make you bitter or better. What's it going to be? We have an opportunity. We have an opportunity, not just for benefit to ourselves, but to bring honor and glory to God. The one who loves us, who gave his son to die for us, in whom we will be preserved forever. We have the opportunity to live a life that says, "Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord." And we most effectively say, "I love you, Lord," by keeping his commandments, right? He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." When we keep his commandments, we're saying, "I love you." Isn't that wonderful? What an opportunity, what a blessing that we're not called upon to climb mountains and walk through fire and all those kinds of things. But love him. Just say thank you with our life. That means our choices, our affections, our activities, all of those things reflect our thanksgiving and our love for the one who loved us and gave himself for us. How wonderful. What a blessing we have. So, the consequences and the restrictions and all those kinds of things about this virus, it's here. There's not anything that we're going to be able to do about it. We got to deal with it. All right? But you've already heard a wonderful message this morning to remind us where our strength is, where our safety is, what will help us to keep our sanity as we're going through this. Okay? So I don't have to deal with that. Thank the Lord that that's already been covered. But we have great opportunities oftentimes that arise out of times of need, times of difficulty, and so forth, and this is no different. There are legitimate and real ways that need to be dealt with to try to prevent the wholesale spread of this thing. And Titus 3:1 tells us that we're to be, Paul told Titus to remind the people, put them in mind, to be subject to magistrates. In other words, we know we ought to obey God rather than man, but as long as those things are not in direct violation with the law of God, you see, the three Hebrew children were not going along with the mandate, but it was because it was calling upon them to worship an idol. And they'd already determined they didn't want to defile themselves. They, with Daniel, determined settled in their heart that they would not defile themselves. And so they were set. They were steadfast in honoring God. They were going to do whatever they could, and they did a good job for the king. They honored the king. They did a good job for the king. But they were not going to violate the law of the one true and living God. So we may have to suffer some inconveniences of the restrictions put upon us for our own good. That's okay. That's okay. But we have an opportunity throughout these things to shine for the glory of God. So what will the record show? What will God have seen when we get through this as far as our conduct? Will it show that we honored the Lord and had a good attitude and helpful for others and doing things that we can to be a blessing? Or were we sitting around and complaining? Does it make a difference? Oh, yes, it does. It's a reflection. It's a witness to others. What do we really believe? Who are we really trusting? We're trusting the Lord. So we're not to be complaining and murmurers and such as that. We're to be loving God and loving one another, right? That's how we fulfill the law. Loving God, loving one. So a lot of things have changed, but a lot of things have not changed. And spiritually now, this could be one of the greatest distractions we've ever faced in our life. With all that's going on in the world. And if you listen to much of the media, you need some help. I won't get on that. We got better things to talk about than that, don't we? You know what I'm talking about, though, don't you?
Yes, sir.
I mean, that's a pure prescription to be upset and concerned and all that is to listen to that stuff all day long. We're going to die. Where's our trust? Where's our trust? You know, I don't know when it came out. Maybe some of you could help me with it, but there was an expression going around. A lot of folks was using 40 years ago, maybe 50 years ago. What would Jesus do? Remember that? I still hear it every now and then. It's a good expression. It's a good thing for us to think about what would the Lord do. But I think a better expression for our day is, what would Jesus have me to do? What would Jesus have me to do while we're going through this? How should we be thinking? A lot of things have changed, but a lot of things have not changed. Faithfulness, loving God, and discipleship is still the order of the day for those who love God. That's no different, is it? It's not going to be any different. I don't care what changes. Even if this nation is not the same anymore after this, it hasn't changed. We want to be faithful to God and live the kind of life that Jesus gave us. He didn't give us a kind of life to live under capitalism and another one under socialism and whatever other ism comes along. He didn't do that. He said, this is the way we're to live. And he gave us the perfect example for it, didn't he? Right. And so we're to follow him and do what's pleasing in his sight and love one another. That'll fit any situation we'll ever face till he comes again. Till he no longer has any use for this world, he's given us what we can do. And so we search the scriptures and we find out what would Jesus have us to do. And that's what we need to be doing, isn't it? That's what we need to be doing every day. So when Paul admonished the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 5, verses 16 and 17, he says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Circumspectly. That is attentive to all the circumstances around us that affect our actions and decisions. Be attentive to those things. Be attentive to what the situation is, what circumstances are presenting themselves. Be attentive to that. Be circumspect. Okay? He goes on to say, not as fools. We need to be thinking. We need to be acting appropriately under the present circumstances. Not as fools, but as wise. Right? Wise. Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. You're going to spend your time some way. How are you spending your time? Is it in vanity and in emptiness, unprofitableness? Or are we going to redeem the time and use the time wisely to be a blessing to others, to be doing the things that brings honor to the Lord, to do things that will bring blessings into our lives instead of the emptiness that so many things in this world brings? Redeem the time. Spend it wisely. You're going to spend it one way or another. These hours are going to pass. You know, sometimes I stop and I think about how many years, how many hours, how many days I have wasted. Maybe you think the same way. Maybe not necessarily that they were so terribly evil, but they weren't put to profitable use. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about valuable. You know, Paul told Timothy, for bodily exercise profiteth little. 1 Timothy 4 and 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. I tell you, your prospects of heaven will be much brighter when we're following godliness right now. And so when we think about the use of our time, and especially with the circumstances as they are right now, what opportunity do we have to shine? And when I say shine, I'm talking about, like Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How do we do that? How do we let that light shine? It's the light that he's given us, and he intends for us to use it. It needs to come out. It needs to come forth. It doesn't need to be put under a bushel, does it? It needs to shine forth. And we have the opportunity as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The way it is right now. There's a lot of things I wish was different, don't you? There's a lot of things I wish would change, but I can't change that. But I can change the way I view it. I can change the way I respond to it. I can change the way that I let this light shine before others that will bring glory and honor to His matchless name. That's our job as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our first job. All right? So when we think about the opportunity that we have before us. Now, I mentioned letting your light shine. How brightly is that light going to shine? Do you have any influence over that? Thank you. I saw a few nods. We do have influence over that, don't we? All right? So, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, Paul is speaking. Now, there was some... The brethren of Galatia, the churches of Galatia, they were trying to hold on to some things about the law. So I'm reaching into that and get this principle that I want to use, but the principle applies to what I'm talking about. He said, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And when you dig into the meaning of those words, you find that word worketh means that the energy of faith is love. Now let's notice a few other things that Jesus said. And again, I'm lifting principles and not dealing with the context, but I think that it's faithful. All right. Faith which worketh by love. Faith. All right, so the energy of faith is our love. John tells us, 1 John 4 tells us, perfect love casteth out fear. Now that's kind of what we've been hearing already this morning. Perfect love casts out fear. I like the analogy of someone whose child falls into a river and that person couldn't swim. But there's a real good chance that person's going to jump in anyway and try to save that child. Well, I should say that person might be fearful of the water. But they jump in anyway to try to save that child. Why? Because the love is strong. That love is going to compel you to do whatever you can to try to save that child. It casts out any other fear that you have and it overrides it so that you do what you need to do. And when our love for God is strong, when we're reminding ourselves of His love for us and what He's done for us and the great blessings that we have because of His love for us and His mercy and compassion, all of those things are embodied in the love of God. Because God loved us, He did for us. Remember John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave. He didn't offer, He gave. That's tremendous. We could preach all day on that idea that He loved us so much that He gave Jesus to die for our sins. Oh, as we think about the love, when our love is strong for the Lord, it casts out fear. And it also energizes faith. If the love is smoldering, neglected, there's not a lot there to energize acts of faith. Right? So where would you like to be in this? I would like to be where I'm reminded on a regular basis how much God loves us, how much He has done for us, how much He's doing for us, how much we can trust that He will yet do for us. And that love that God has, which is unconditional and it's eternal and it's sacrificial. See, the very act of God giving His Son shows us the supreme sacrifice of God's love for His people. God loves us so much. Let us show that love. Let us let that light shine. Let it energize us so that we will do the things that he tells us in his word, to live in such a way that lets the light shine, that's a blessing to others, that energizes us and helps us to be faithful to him. That's what we need. That's the opportunity that's presented to us right now. Now, I trust you've already been living that opportunity. I trust that you've already been doing those things. But don't let this present circumstance deter us. Don't let it distract us. Stay on track. Be faithful. Love one another. There's some particular needs that are abounding right now. And there's some folks that are crippled by fear right now. Pray for them. See if there's something you could do to minister to them. Be an encouragement to them. You know, it might help tremendously if they just know that there's somebody that cares. And there's somebody there to help them if they need the help. All right? Now, like I said, a lot of things have changed. A lot of things haven't changed. And there's two passages. I have to deal with this. There's two passages I want to call your attention to that are good anytime. But they seem to be particularly vulnerable for us to forget about or get distracted from in these present circumstances. And so let's not let that happen. All right. One of them you'll find in James chapter 2. James chapter 2. And James is talking about faith. All right. Remember now, faith which worketh by love. If there's a lot of energy in our love that is being fed to our faith, then our faith is going to show, right? Our faith is going to be more active and stronger, okay? But James warns us that there can be a situation where faith is dead. In other words, it's not doing anything. It's not loving. It's not trusting. It's fearful. Okay? We don't want to be there, do we? All right? So James chapter 2, I'll begin in verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? What does it profit? What good is there? Who's helped by that? Who's encouraged by that? How much glory to God is in that? He goes on to say, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead. Dead. What would that be like? What does a dead faith look like? Well, I would say that, first of all, there wouldn't be any fruit of the Spirit. If it's dead, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, it wouldn't be following after righteousness. It wouldn't be trusting God. We don't want to be that. We don't want to be that. We want to show our faith by our works, right? That's how you let your light shine. That's how love grows. You remember? If you want your love to grow, give it away. Give it away. And if you want it to grow some more, give some more of it away. And give it away. You'll never give it all away. Right? Boy. And Well, you could try. And if you try, your light will get brighter. You like God's economy? That's the way love is. That's why it's so important. It's boundless. But it can be shut off. And when you shut it off, no light, no warmth. This is a powerful passage. I wish I could preach it like it is. But this is a powerful passage that tells us that faith without works is dead. No evidence of life. Okay? Now let's go to one in John. First John, epistles of John. 1 John chapter 3. You like John 3:16? How about 1 John 3:16? You like that one too? Oh no, preacher, that tells me to do something. It's not nearly as good as John 3:16, is it? God did that. Well, there you can find a lot of joy in 1 John 3:16. I'm being lighthearted here. I don't mean to do any violence to the scriptures, but 1 John 3:16. Hope you found it by now. Hereby perceive we the love of God. The love of God is. And it's more than we'll ever understand this side of glory. But we need His Spirit and His life to perceive it and understand it. Okay? Begin to understand it. So hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. That's where it is. That's what it's all about. The sacrifice, the supreme sacrifice God provided for the life of His children. He gave of Himself. That lamb that we see back in Genesis 22. My son, God will provide not for Himself. God will provide Himself a lamb. He provided Himself. All right? Because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, understand, what He's talking about here is giving of ourselves for one another. Giving of ourselves. Denying self, dying to self, and giving to others. That's love. That's what God did. That's what God does. That's what God will continue to do, because He's God and He cannot change. And He continues to love us. So He says, so then He begins a practical lesson. He says, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, kind of sounds like the passage from James, doesn't it? Except James used terms of faith, and John is speaking of love. But it's the same idea. It's the same responsibility that we have. May I say, it's the same opportunity we have. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? If our faith doesn't have the works, it's not showing the love, right? I mean, these two passages are so similar, so speaking of the same principle, just in different terms from a different perspective. Faith, which worketh by love. So John goes to the heart of the matter, doesn't he? James is speaking in the practical terms, which you would expect because James has oftentimes been spoken of as the New Testament book of Proverbs. It was one of the earliest, if not the first book written for the New Testament. The New Testament church, or the church at Jerusalem, had grown so quickly, to use a term from our day, there were so many who were unchurched, who didn't know the ways of God, who didn't live that way before. They needed practical teaching. And so we have the book of James, and so needful, so practical. But it's the same, addressing the same problem that John goes to the subject of love, but James does it through faith. But hey, faith worketh by love. The energy of that faith has to be love. So we get back to the same thing. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. How much do we love the brethren? You know, in 1 John 4, he says, in this, verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son to the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. It always comes back to that. Loving God and loving one another. How do we respond to this opportunity? I think you've heard some of it already this morning. I need to close this up. I think Brother Kenneth spoke about Selah. Pause and consider. You know, a relationship takes time, doesn't it? If you fall in love with somebody, you want to spend time with them. You want to nurture that. Loving God. The love we feel and that shows to others takes time. Spending time with God. Spending time in his word. This is his love letter that he's written to us. So, reading his word, you know, the greatest expression of the glory of God, the love of God, was his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And the Son is the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. So this is the testimony of Jesus Christ. We need to be reading it. We need to be asking the Lord to help us to understand it. But don't stop there. Then think about and keep asking the Lord, how can I live it? How does it apply to me? How can I apply it to my life? How can it be translated into light that shines to others? How can it energize my faith? How can it help us to take advantage of this opportunity that we have to show forth the love of God and our trust in God and show others that he truly is our refuge and strength and a present help in trouble? How can we do that? Spending time in the Word. Spending time in prayer. I'm talking about real praying. When's the last time you really, really, really prayed to God? You know, I only emphasize, I'm sure you do every day, but I emphasize that because we know. We know. God knows. that sometimes our heart is really not in our praying. Sometimes it's just lip service. I'm there. I'm guilty at times. You are too. So one of the things that can help us in this trying time is to have a real heart-to-heart time with the Lord. Examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith, right? Prayer, time in the Word. Jude, let me grab this real quick. Jude, you find the chapter, I'll tell you which verse, right? Verse 20 and 21. Jude says this, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Isn't it wonderful when we can have a time of prayer and we feel like the Lord blessed it? Then we feel like the Spirit is there and it's interceding for us and it's lifting our prayers to the throne of God and that Jesus is receiving them and being the advocate for us. Isn't that wonderful? But it doesn't happen every time. It doesn't. Have a heart-to-heart time with the Lord. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. He's given us eternal life. We haven't got there yet. I mean, we have it, but we're not in heaven yet. We have an opportunity right now to honor Him, to say, "I love you, Lord." Do good. Look around for opportunities to shine. Not for your glory, right? If you do it for your glory, you'll get your reward. But if you do it for the glory of God, let not the left hand know what the right hand is doing. Just do it. They don't have to know who did it. Just do it. Just do it. That light will shine. The Lord will bless you for that. Every practical principle of Scripture applies right here. And I don't have that time. And you wouldn't sit here for it anyway. But my point is this. We have the opportunity. We have the temptation to be distracted. We have the temptation to be upset and troubled and fearful and debilitated. Or we can trust God and be wise in how we go about things in the days ahead. We have the opportunity to bring glory and honor to His matchless name. While the government tells you all the woes about COVID-19, I wanted to tell you we got an opportunity. You know, let me just close with this thought. Saw something recently. It was a list of activities that are not canceled by the coronavirus. A list of activities that are not canceled by the virus. Praying, worshiping, being thankful, telling others how great things the Lord hath done for thee. I think Brother Kenneth mentioned that one, the Gadarean, the wild Gadarean. There's that last part of that, though, I've left off for years. I want to get it. Go home to thy friend. He wanted to follow Jesus. Well, we can understand that. And, you know, Jesus wasn't telling him no. What he was telling him is, this is how you follow me. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and has had compassion on thee. That is the peace that is so often missing in our life that keeps us from letting that light shine. That's the peace that stands between whether or not we show compassion. Is the difference between a dead faith and the love of God dwelling in us. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. This will give hope. Giving hope hasn't been canceled by the virus. Speaking peace hasn't been canceled. We have peace with our Lord. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have it. He did it on the cross for eternity, and we need to remember it and rejoice in it now to enjoy it right now. The last thing that was on that list is helping others. I have found over my years that when I ask the Lord, "Lord, would you help? Give me somebody I can help." It takes about that long. Either somebody comes to mind or the phone rings. If you're serious about that, get ready. If you ask him, there's plenty of things we can do to take advantage of the opportunity of the coronavirus. May God help us be faithful to him, letting our light shine brightly, that others may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. May God bless you, is our prayer.